But I am grateful to be here this morning as we gather in community to lead each other to Jesus, a light that pierces even the darkest of places, the living water that is for our thirsty souls this morning. So today, yes, is special in so many ways, right? It's Mother's Day and it's Baptism Sunday, and we're continuing our Love Thy Neighbor series. So it's a three for the price of one deal. And that's like totally the only kind of shopping mask that I can do. Have you ever tried to buy toilet paper on a budget? It is so confusing. Like, it says 12 mega rolls is equal to 80 regular rolls. And you're like, okay. And we're three times the sheets per roll. So four rolls are actually like 16.7 rolls. And I'm like, I need to go find the third grader who does Common Core and say, come here and help me figure out what I'm buying this morning. So three in one this morning. And this sermon's challenge was to speak to all three, which I'm excited to do. And by the way, before you cast any judgment on Pastors Kyle or Pastor Austin, I asked to preach this Sunday, okay? It's not like they're like, oh, you know, on mothers, yes. I wanted this because I love the Word of God, and I think this is a beautiful morning to do this. So also, Luke chapter 7 that we're in this morning is one of the most dearest and closest to my heart as a text, so it is a great honor to open this text this morning with us. Okay, so without further ado, because we've got three things, three for one going on here, we are just going to hit it immediately. So take out your Bibles. We're actually maybe going to do some editing in your Bible. You'll see. Don't worry. It's okay. But take it out. And also, will you turn your attention to the screen? I'm going to read the whole story. We're going to walk through the story, and then we're going to pull out what is for us today. Luke 7:36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, and she kissed them, and she poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Holy God, I pray this morning that you, that we recognize and sense and know your presence here with us this day. You have things to say to us. Maybe they are words of challenge and conviction so that you can shape us more into your image of Jesus. Maybe they're words of tender, gentle compassion that we need to hear this morning. Lord, maybe as a community, as a whole, God, Holy Spirit, you have something to bring forth from this day. So Jesus, we're here to hear you. May these words be yours, and may they be helpful, and may they be true, and may you fill me as I give them. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, so this account is one of the core stories in Luke's gospel and addresses some of the most important questions about what it means to follow Jesus. And there are four accounts in the gospel similar to this story in Mark 14, Matthew 6, John 12. Are you writing this down? Okay. And there is much scholarship and there's much debate whether these are different stories with different characters or whether these are different perspectives or whatever. We are not addressing that today, although I would really like to, but at another time. But I urge you to find these and read them on your own because they will parallel and bring out some new light in that. But here in Luke's context, Jesus is in Galilee, and he was invited to eat dinner at a Pharisee's house whose name is Simon. Now, a Pharisee is a religious leader who taught and upheld the Jewish teaching. Like, they're the guardians of the law, the keepers, right? The sentinels of the sacred, which totally sound like a dystopian teen novel, right? Like, or it's more like the keeper of the seven keys of stone and law and ash. Like, those are the titles we see, right? Anyway, the Pharisees were mostly hostile to Jesus. They saw Jesus as a threat to their religious law and order, their power and systems, and so the invitation is not a friendly one, which is confirmed later in the story. Jesus was invited to be questioned and to be debated and to get evidence to try to kill him, no doubt, and Jesus says, sure, I'll go, and he puts on his dinner jacket. Okay? So, he has appointments, grace appointments to keep. So let's paint more of the picture of this dinner. Wherever Jesus went, there's this huge crowd that presses in all around him, right? And this is probably no different of an occasion. The home would likely have, like, large open enclave windows surrounding the main area where there's dinner. And so people, although you're in the dinner area, people would be pouring in kind of through the windows on the sides of this open area. So the dinner party is for the guests who are invited, but all who gathered are watching and listening. So also, people in first century Judea ate around tables that were on the ground like this high, okay? Not here. And so they would have cushions surrounding this table, and they kind of recline and lean on the cushion while eating, which I think is a great idea because it makes the distance real short. Okay, so it's not getting all over the place. This would be helpful for my children. So they have cushions and they're lying all around, which means that their feet, like if this were the table, right, their feet are pointed away, probably toward the back, open windows. Okay, we're only through the first verse, so we'll just see if we can get faster. Okay, verse 37 says, behold, a woman. Oh, there's some good trouble about to be stirred up. And Luke continues and says, she lived a sinful life. Context. This means she was a prostitute. And I want to make a note here for us to understand something. Most of the women in this industry in this day were trafficked into it, as they are also today. Or they're in it due to the massively oppressive culture against women who were seen primarily as property to be married and traded or discarded. A woman had no rights and no voice and no power. And if she did not have children, she could be abandoned. Sinful life or not, right? This woman's circumstance was an outcome of gross injustice against the weak and the vulnerable and the marginalized and the voiceless in society. So here this woman has these three strikes against her. She's a female, she is a prostitute, and she's a Jewish law breaker. This is most definitely not a place she would be invited to or welcome. But she heard that Jesus was in town. She heard that Jesus was in town. The Jesus who sees women and touches women and raises them up and works with women and empowers women. She hears Jesus is in town and she is compelled. She's like, I have got to go and be with him, the God who sees me. So she has no shame in the presence of Jesus. Let that soak in. We're going to get back to that in a minute. But she probably still obviously knows, I can't be here. I'm not invited. I don't have the ticket to this party. So she probably slips in through one of those open enclave windows, trying not to be noticed by the others who would shame her. And she brings her alabaster jar of perfume. Now, this jar is about a year's wage. Now, calculate that for a minute. Do some math. An alabaster jar is luxurious, and the oil inside is meant to be broken open and poured on top of someone's head as an immense sign of honor and glory and praise and respect. It's meant to bless them. And she had one mission, to extravagantly bless her Jesus. Okay, so now why would she do this? Now later in our text, Jesus says the words, her sins have been forgiven. Now this, again, in this tense in English and in the Greek, this is a past tense. This tense points to the fact that he had encountered her prior. Her sins have been forgiven. They were forgiven. And this would make sense in this case because she would be coming to Jesus with this heart of compulsion, this heart of thanksgiving, this heart of gratitude because he had already encountered her and set her free and forgave her of her sins. And now she is ready to pour out her gratitude and she must go and pour it out on Jesus' feet. Now here's where you're going to edit your Bibles. I just don't understand why people had to add the label on the Bible that says Jesus greeted by a sinful woman. Jesus anointed by it. Now, do your Bibles say it? You'll see. Maybe they do. I don't get it. Because I would like to cross that out and say forgiven. I don't get it. Now, remember, labels aren't part of the original text, so it's okay. If you cross it out and say forgiven. Why isn't this story labeled Jesus eats with a sin in a sinful man's house? I'm just asking. It's not like the story of Zacchaeus is labeled sinful tax collector in a tree. Why is not Jesus heals the sinful man at Bethsaida? Why is she stuck with her pre-redemption label? Why is Rahab called Rahab the prostitute forever? And David gets man after God's own heart. I'm just saying, shouldn't all receive their redemption titles? Amen. Forgiven, beloved ones, graced ones, belonging ones. The point is she's redeemed by the lavish grace and mercy of God, and let's give her this dignity and remember her as such. And in like manner, let us do the same for one another. Our redemption labels, and only that for a label. Now let's talk about feet for a moment. How many moms are getting pedicures today? Really? How many of you got it yesterday? Okay. feet are gross. Let's just admit it. And some are more gross than others. A good pedicure helps, of course, but feet are not glamorous, right? However, in first century Judea, even less so, as people walked around everywhere, no cars, right? So dusty roads, donkey manure, and donkeys are, you know, the most greatest creature on earth, but their manure probably isn't. And so they're in the streets and their feet are getting super dirty. So it is customary. It is hospitable. It is the right thing to do in this century that when someone came into your house, you would wash their feet. That is the norm. You wash their feet or you have someone else, the servant, wash their feet. Okay. So now this woman who loves Jesus so much, she comes down through the window probably, and with all of her forgiven heart, comes with a spirit filled with gratitude, and she's ready to bless her Lord and Savior, like on his head, like the jar is supposed to do, and then she looks and she sees his feet are dirty. No one did this for Jesus? Can you imagine this moment of shock as she sees her Savior's dirty feet? How absolutely shameful. The host did not dignify even with the most basic of customs. It's like today if you came into a house and no one ordered you a cup of coffee or brought you one. Or worse, if they offered you decaf and you're like, do you hate me? It's customary. It's hospitable, right? But she sees that there's this shameful thing that has been left undone. And so she becomes the host for Jesus. She doesn't have water, so she uses her tears to wash his feet. She doesn't have a towel, but she lets down her hair and uses them to dry his feet. And she then goes further, and she uses the oil that she was going to bless him with on his head, and she's like, this is so wrong and so shameful. I'm going the extra mile, and now she pours this oil on his feet, lavishly attending to his unattended feet. Now Simon, verse 39, says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and that she is a sinner. Oh, he just loves himself, doesn't he? What else is surrounding this thought? She's a sinner, not like me. She's unrighteous, not like me. She's a blight on society, not like me. She's unimportant, not like me. Friends, how easy it is for us to place ourselves above and over someone else. This is the lowest hanging fruit on our sinful trees, right? is to look at another person's speck in their eye while forgetting the plank in ours. How easy it is for us to think, I am a better than this person. Think about the remarks we made, the snide comments I am guilty of. If we're honest, we can see ourselves mirrored in Simon in this moment. At least I'm not that. We can say to ourselves, maybe we say it online because it feels safer. So Simon thinks to himself all of this, and then it says, Jesus answered him. Do you love that? Like, he didn't say it. He thought it. Jesus answered his thoughts. Jesus reads the thoughts in the hearts of all of us, right? He knows Simon. He loves Simon. He knows his thoughts, right? So Jesus then tells a story to Simon about people who owe money, and one owed today's equivalent of 2 years of income. The other owes like 2 days of a labor, 2 days of labor worth of money. Okay, 2 years of income, 2 days. The lender sees that they can't pay it back. He forgives them both. And then he asks, who will love the one who forgave this debt more? The one who was forgiven the most or the one who was forgiven the least? I love Jesus talking in stories. He just has a way of like getting it in there and you're like, whoa, dude. Okay, so Simon says, well, I suppose it's the one who had the most debt canceled. I love how Simon is literally like, fine, like, whatever, I'll play the game, like, I suppose. Like, big eye roll moment, right? Jesus gives him a star. He's like, good job, you're not, you're right. Now listen. Do you see this woman? And he's like, yeah, whatever, I guess. I see her. And then Jesus pulls out this ginormous plank out of Simon's eye, and he goes, no, you don't see her. You don't even see me. I came to your house. You didn't give me water for my feet. She watered my feet with her tears. You didn't wipe them. She wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss. She hasn't stopped kissing me. My feet since the moment I got in here. You didn't put oil on my head, but she lavishly blessed me with hers. You don't see her, and you don't see me. She has been forgiven much. Do you see this? What about you? And there's a question in there for Simon. What about you, Simon? You can see her sins, but can you see yours? She's been forgiven much, and so can you. If you could see your sin and say, yes, I want to be forgiven. What will you do now, Simon, is a question for him. And he doesn't take the invitation. So here's your 3-in-1. This is like the longest, slowest landing ever. Here we go. Ready? What does this story tell us about loving our neighbor, honoring women, and baptism? Amazingly, a lot. So first, how do we love our neighbor? With costly love, with what we have, with what's customary, lavishly, without labels. Costly, the forgiven woman shows us that hospitality looks like. What words would you use to describe what she did? Tell me. Sorry? Extravagant. Yeah, what else? Brave, so good, yes. Faithful, love it. Humble, sacrificial, yeah. All of these things, these are the ways that we are called to love our neighbor, to be other-oriented and loving and sacrificial. It cost her something. It cost her something socially. It cost her something financially. Now, the woman loved her neighbor, which is Jesus in this case, even in the most socially costly circumstances, because she knows who she is. She is a forgiven person. She is a redeemed person. She has been graced by God, friends, and so she could then give out to others. The more that I know and the more that I embrace my identity as God's beloved child, whom he sees, whom he knows, whom he has forgiven, the more easily I have it within me by the power of the Holy Spirit to extend that out to others. Amen? If I know I have been forgiven much, if I know that I am loved much by God, and I stand firmly in that identity, then how much lavishly and easier is it for me to pour that out to the people around me, especially the ones that are hard to love. The more I'm loved, the more I know, the more I can love. This is what she shows us. She also shows us to give what we have. She offers what she has. Instead of thinking, what I don't have water, I don't have a towel, what am I going to do? She uses what she has. Her tears, her hair, her kisses, her oil, her most precious items, and she gives everything of herself to Jesus. Friends, use what you have. to love others. There is only one you in the world. And God has placed you where you are to love the people around you. Whether you are an introvert or an extrovert, a 7 on the Enneagram or a 5, an INFP or an ENFP, a Hufflepuff or a Gryffindor, a bear, a lion, a marmot, I don't know what tests we're taking these days. Use what you have and who you are, and that is enough. You are enough. God within you is enough to love deeply. Pour out, friends. This world is breaking, and people are dying, and there is so much pain in the world. And now is the watershed moment, more than ever, for God to raise up this generation and this church and these communities of faith to pour out extravagant, merciful, compassionate love. The world needs it. Let's go. Second, give what's customary. Is it tea? Is it food? Is it wiping feet? Is it a pig on a stick? I don't know. Give what's customary, because when you do that, you're saying, I am creating a welcome space for you. You're welcome here. But more than that, go above and beyond it. Cup of coffee? Put cream in it, please. Okay. Any cream people here? She extends this lavish hospitality. Not only are you welcome, like by the bare minimum of like custom, but I'm going to go 5 extra miles to show you, especially when no one else does. So who in your life and who in your community and who in your family do you think are not being seen? Who are the ones that God is saying, especially that one, go and love lavishly, especially the one who didn't receive the dignity of being treated like a human? And then finally, we can ask ourselves how we can go even further, because Simon also gives us some lessons on what not to do, right? At the very basics of how to love your neighbor is the question, do you see them? Do you see them? Not the kind of seeing that's just eyeballs and retinas, but the seeing from the heart. And Jesus asks Simon, do you see her? He had eyes to see, but he couldn't see her. He did not welcome them. He did not cherish them. He did not dignify them. Friends, the question for us today is, do we see, truly see our neighbor? Do we walk in their shoes? Do we know their battles? No. Do we understand their lived experiences? How often we shirk and our duties and shrink a person with just a passing judgment. Every neighbor we meet, friends, is made in the image of God. Beloved and worthy of dignity and respect. Yes, even that person. Please, church, let us be like this woman in our lives. In the words of the justice fighter, Brian Stevenson, each of us are more than the worst thing we've ever done. We have redemption titles to hold and extend to others as well. So on this Mother's Day, I also want to name plainly that women have been, since the dawn of time, on the receiving end of oppression. And so, as an ECC pastor, we have to fill out this vocational growth tool every year in order to stay in good standing with the covenant. And there are 900 covenant churches, and let's say there's 3 credentialed staff per church, so carry the one. That's 2,700 people, men and women, who are asked this question yearly. How are you advocating and calling out the giftedness of women in this past year? Isn't that great? Yeah. Go team. And if the answer isn't satisfactory, there will be a conversation. Because the pendulum isn't anywhere even near. We, all of us, friends, women too, can ask ourselves this question on this special day. How are we raising up and empowering women? How are we giving platform and visibility and a voice to women? Covenant Kids 6K Congo is one such way. Sign up today. For clean water is one way. If a girl doesn't have to walk 6K a day, she can go to school. If she can go to school, she can get an education. If she can get an education, she can get a job. If she can get a job, she is no longer as vulnerable to sex trafficking or any kind of trafficking at all. Full circle to our story. We can do this because we're asked the question, do you see her? How on this day can we honor women and the mothers in our midst? How do we see them? Now finally, baptism. On this baptism morning, this text hits different for me, as they say. Jesus forgave this woman. He set her free. He sends her out with his peace. Friends, he sends her out, and your Bible now says the redeemed woman, the forgiven woman. Jesus came to forgive and to set everyone free from sin and condemnation, to bring everyone back into peace with God and with one another. And this woman accepted this gift, and look what it did within her. A new life, a transformed life, free of shame, free of guilt. Jesus is extending that same invitation to us today. There are people up here who are going to be baptized who said yes to Jesus' love for them, who said yes to the grace and yes to the forgiveness and yes to the love of Christ, and they are changed. And you'll see that, and we'll talk about that. And that is the invitation for all of us today as well. Jesus is saying, I am here and I see you. I see you and I have called you by name to redeem you and forgive you. Is that your answer as well? Our baptism students this morning made a choice to abide in the love and the light of Christ and be a blessing of peace to the world.